Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the sixth chapter of Acts, before our first lesson from chapter 7, you can read about the shooting star ministry of Stephen, the first deacon of the church, and the first martyr who went down in history as the first ordinary Christian to follow his shepherd to the slaughter. He was not one of the 12, not even a candidate to replace Judas when that spot became open. Matthias got the job. He was not anyone's idea of headline material. Simply a good, faithful man who could be trusted with servant-like jobs, like distributing food evenly among the hungry. Now maybe if Stephen had been a better deacon, he might not have ended a martyr. After all, deacons were meant to be seen, not heard. To wait tables so the disciples could devote themselves to the ministry of the word. But making sack lunches for the widows was the least of Stephen's gifts. Once he had hands laid on his head, all the grace and power that poured into him spilled out of signs and wonders. Luke doesn't give us any details. Maybe Stephen tried to keep a low profile. Now maybe he handed someone her lunch when he healed her by mistake. Maybe he only meant to stir the soup, not the spirit. But the Spirit did him up so much that he did great wonders and signs. All of these, you know, among a lot of people. Now the bosses of the synagogue heard about all this and stood up and argued with him. This was not a surprise, as faithful Jews believed the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, had all the perfect wisdom that people needed to guide them. This argument led to a sermon by Stephen to them, taking all the verses of chapter 7 that led up to our first verse, number 55, an Episcopal sermon, I think. He surveyed the Old Testament, featuring Abraham, Joseph, and Moses in the building of the temple by Solomon. He is highly critical, featuring Israel rejecting God's will time and time again. But this did not necessarily get him killed. It was his furious conclusion in verse 51, which I'll quote. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Unquote. We then enter our lesson this morning, where Stephen was stoned to death by the council while Stephen was asking Jesus to forgive them. You put Stephen and Jesus together as martyrs. It's hard to deny that this is what Christian success looks like. Not only converting other people to our way of thinking, not having the oldest, prettiest church in town, not even going out of our ways to be kind and generous, but telling the truth so clearly that some people want to kill us for it. This is hard for us, isn't it? But there have been hundreds of Christian martyrs since. Many are listed in our Episcopal Church's calendar of saints. The well-known Episcopal preacher, Barbara Brown Taylor, took a crack at this difficult martyrdom. Addressing how martyrdom works, she said, and I'll quote, I do not think you can seek it any more than you can avoid it. I think it just happens sometimes. When people get so wrapped up in living God's life that they forget to protect themselves. They forget to look out for danger, and the next thing they know, it is raining rocks. Unquote. Not everyone is called to be a martyr. But in these great 50 days we have when we try to be Easter people, We should try to remember some who believed it meant putting something else ahead of their own safety. You had God as a goal. It just happened to them while they were living the fullest lies they knew how. Now their murderers found out over and over again that trying to get rid of them by killing them worked about as well as trying to get rid of dandelions by blowing on their puffs. The harder they blew, the further the seed spread. These seeds have blown over the centuries, including our own. Blood has been spilled for us and for many. We say so every Sunday. We also say that God has turned it into nourishment for us, so that we, as Easter people, in the communion of Stephen and all the saints, may continue to ponder the miracle of death turning into life. Amen. Now, for those of you thanking God for a 5-minute sermon, I'm sorry to say that I'm not done yet. Why? Well, Maureen suggested how I want to preach today. I hope it's not because she has a pile of props waiting to be applied to me, I'll esteem it. Or maybe it was because, as she mentioned, on May 20th, 1989, Bishop Mark Dyer ordained me here as a deacon. So 2 days from now will be my 25th anniversary. How did this strange thing happen? I was transferred to Wanda Wedding Pond in 1980 after wandering around the country for 26 years for them. In fact, beginning in 1959, when Sharon and I were confirmed in a suburb of Chattanooga, Tennessee, Christ Church was our 7th parish. In 1985, we had offered an enhanced retirement package, and I was one of over 10,000 worldwide who took it. Though I was in good health, only 53 years old. So what to do? Two influential people had opinions. Sharon said that playing golf and lazing around Tawanda was not going to work. She even threatened to put a lock on the outside of my sweaty door with me inside. Bishop Mark strongly suggested that after a positive evaluation by a committee here at Christ Church, I embark on a new diocesan 4-year part-time program to become a deacon. After several structured meetings, the summer of 1985, by a committee headed by Father that day, which included friends, now gone, like Ray Lewis and Herman Van Lee, a positive conclusion was reached. So I began the process, which was also done in later years by Mary Kisner, Hazel Hunt, and Maureen. This very busy, varied program led to my ordination here. And during these 25 years, a little more than 16 at Redeemer, a little while after this, and almost 9 years here, I have been very active in my parishes, as well as doing a lot of work for the diocese and doing occasional deacon's masses at Tompkins, Troy, and Athens. And of course, morning prayer since 1991, Tim, in Puerto Rico. A little bragging, perhaps, but it's been a very good, blessed time for me. During all this time, I've benefited a lot from the love and support of dozens of people in my diocese, especially here at Christ Church. So thank you all very